Hey, Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, where we'll discuss anything and everything Philadelphia Eagles. You can read our content on nj.com/eagles. Make sure to bookmark that. You can subscribe to our exclusive Eagles Insider text service, where we'll break news, give you insider observations, and provide in-depth analysis. Through Eagles Extra, you can send questions and comments directly to us, and we'll respond to your phone. With me today, as always, is my No Huddle Show co-host, Les Bowen. Today, we'll discuss the Eagles rookie minicamp, the new look front seven defense, and also some pieces of schedule that's come out, along with the ever-changing, it seems, front office personnel that just seems like one day in, one day out, somebody else is in. But first off, Les, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
I'm not bad, you know. I actually saw this yellow orb in the sky. I haven't seen it in a while. You know, I think it's called a sun or something, but
quite a thing. Wasn't yes, bad.
It's weird. Had some chance. Got the chance to go down to Atlantic City this past weekend. It was fun hanging out with some people.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I was going to post bail for you or something there, but apparently you made it through the weekend pretty well.
I was trying to keep that on low. You know, just kidding. Yeah, I stayed out of jail, so it was a good weekend.
Well, there you go. But, yeah,
it's always fun. It's always fun. Do you anything fun this weekend?
You know, we had dinner with another couple down way down in the rural part of South Jersey at a cool little place that I'd never been to. I need to expand. I've lived in South Jersey for a very long time. But I really don't know the area outside my little, Camden County bubble. So it was cool to get out there in the hinterlands and go to a new place.
Man, it's cool. There's so many. This place, like, I probably gained 15, 20 pounds eating. There's so many good restaurants down there. I love South Jersey when it comes to food. But enough about our stomachs. I guess we'll go into it and hit it running. We got a chance to go observe for a few minutes. Rookie minicamp happened this past weekend. The Eagles rookies, the draft picks, undrafted free agents, and also some tryouts came into the NovaCare complex to show what they were able to do in front of the coaching staff. And it felt good to see some football again, to see some drills, to see some of these guys running around and getting used to the system. And it was very interesting. We got a chance to also talk to N'Kobe Dean. We got a chance to talk to Jordan Davis, Cam Jurgens, all the draft picks ahead of time. We also got a chance to speak to Nick Sirianni. I guess I'll start off with this first, Les. What was your initial impressions of this past minicamp?
Well, it was just good, as you said, to see these guys on the field. They're not really doing anything that gives you any real insight. I mean, they're just trying to learn how to line up, basically. They're not wearing pads or anything like that, but it was just really cool to see everybody. There were a lot of guys that we didn't know anything about who were there on tryouts and things like that. I was glad that they got some people signed going into that. You know, that's always a good thing to have. And, it was a brief glimpse, but, nobody tore up their knee or any of those types of things. Jordan Davis is a very large man. That was confirmed. I kind of started to look at guys like Calcaterra, the sixth round tight end, kind of like, okay, how does he move? What is he, how does he run these patterns? You kind of get more than just you see them in an Eagles uniform, and you get more than just a theoretical sense of who these guys are, I guess, is one thing I could say.
Yeah, it's true, man. You're right, man. So, when you got to see Davis so close, it's like, maybe the cameras on that one. You look at it, it's like, okay, yeah, it kind of towers over everybody when it comes to the scene. It's going to be fun seeing Jason Kelce and him going head-to-head in the middle of these practices, especially when you look at how big Jason Kelce is. He's a little smaller compared to Davis, yes. And this is going to be a crazy race. And then one thing I always thought was interesting as well, too, is there's only one quarterback throwing, so I had a chance to look at Carson Strong and – he was the undrafted free agent that the Eagles signed. He was the only arm that was in there. And looking at the way he was throwing and some of that zip he was putting in the ball, and you can see why the Eagles were intrigued by him. He came coming out of Nevada last season. There's a lot of questions about his knee and if it was holding up. He's not the most mobile guy. And looking at the way he was throwing the ball, some of those out routes, which I think, especially those deep outs, which are some of the toughest throws to complete, the ability for him to get the ball out there in a space where they can catch the windows, I think he – and get coupled with the guaranteed money that he received, I think he believes $320,000 in guaranteed money, I think – he could be one of those undrafted free agents that will compete for a roster spot. And granted, it's Reed Sinnett who he'll be going against, but
I think they probably expect him to be on the roster either as the backup or as the number three guy, depending on if you know, it looks like Gardner Minshew's going to be here, I guess, at this point. Somebody could get hurt somewhere else and change that, but you know, they didn't trade him during the draft. Yeah, I think they expect Carson Strong to be here. I'd really be interested in knowing. You hear a lot of rhetoric about, oh, man, if it weren't for his knees, this and that. I just wonder if scouts really – if they would have liked him better than the guys, the top quarterbacks in this draft, had he been healthy. Or not healthy, but had he not had this this background of serious knee injuries that has severely limited his mobility, apparently. Because he certainly has a great arm, as you noted. I would just like to know that. We're never going to really know that because I don't think they know, you know, what they would think if he hadn't, you know, had so much trouble injury-wise. But, you know, it was not a great year for quarterbacks. And it's interesting that the Eagles might have gotten maybe the one with the best arm as an undrafted free agent.
Who would have thought? I mean, because I'm just look at some of the people that were taking me. Brock Purdy. You mean tell me that they thought Carson Strong was no better than Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant? I just don't. It's craziness, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he does from here on out through OTAs and eventually in training camp. Now, also take it part as well, too. We mentioned Jordan Davis as well, too. We also saw Nakobe Dean. You know, we saw him going, working some drills as well, too, working laterally, and he looked like he was fine. You know, he mentioned we all know that during the draft that there was a lot of stuff going on about the pectoral issue. Well, granted, they weren't hitting, but he looked like he was a full participant. And if that's the case and the Eagles got him in the to play linebacker on air, I think that was a good pick up for them. And now Dean, along with Jordan Davis, is going to be part of this new look front seven that the Eagles are going to have now to join with Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. Les, when you look at the way that this front seven is now constructed, how impactful do you think it will be? And do you think it will be able to provide more pressure than what it did last season?
Well, I want to know how Brandon Graham really looks going into the season before I say for sure, but I definitely think there's a good chance they will. I think they've made strong moves to fortify that pass rush. You know, Hassan Reddick and Jordan Davis, and you know, it's if you have a healthy Brandon Graham to kind of take a little of the load off Josh Sweat, maybe split time with him. I don't know how they're going to do that, but yeah, I think it could be a much better front four, and then front seven. You know, you're talking about adding some linebackers who can blitz, perhaps. We didn't see much of that last year with Jonathan Gannon, but they've added some guys that you could send out there. You know, Kerryon Johnson thinks he's, or how do you pronounce his name? Kyron Johnson? Kyron Johnson. Kerryon Johnson's the running back. Kyron Johnson's the
I think he wants to be back
linebacker. And, you know, I kind of hope we run out of K-word names that are similar before too long because I'm easily confused. But Kyron Johnson thinks he can go out there in a limited role and be like a Hassan Reddick, you know, maybe rush from a stand-up position or something like that. So they can do odd fronts. They can do, you know, a lot of different things with that group. And, you know, if Jonathan Gannon is as good as the rest of the league seems to think he is, and Eagles fans weren't that impressed last year, but if he can do what the rest of the league thinks he can do, they ought to be able to really, you know, give some problems to opposing offenses.
I agree. But one thing that I'm really a little skeptical about is what you mentioned, Brandon Graham. I'm also worried about the second line when you're looking at a guy like Derek Barnett, who's returning, and Mm-hmm. Listen, I know he was a lot was expected of him. I mean, he's a former first round draft pick. But how many times did you always hear about, oh, look at this guy's been, look at what his production was at Tennessee. He broke Reggie White's sack. We've heard all that stuff. But when you look at what he did last year, you got nothing but penalties and got hurries, but you didn't get the finished product in the form of sacks. And I just think, especially when you go on that backside, especially if you have a right hand quarterback, I think they need more production out of that right side. I think Josh Sweat can do that. But as we've seen in the past, when it comes to Josh Sweat, you know, he hasn't basically done it for a very long time. And then also you got to worry about the injury concerns with him too. So I know they can bring a lot of pressure where you got Kaiser White, you got Kion Johnson, you got all these guys here, Hassan Reddick, you know, you got him doing the rush side, but I hope they get more pressure off the edges. We know the interior should be better. I mean, keyword should, right. Fletcher Cox gets bad, but it's a little concerning when it comes on that end on there. So I just sure hope that they get some more pressure from that outside area. So it's going to be interesting to see. They got a lot of time to do it before training camp, and it gives Jonathan Gannon some time to decide what to do, just draw up some blitzes, which if he's anything like a chess player, it should be pretty interesting to see what comes from that. And now,
well, you know, with Derek Barnett, I really think they're just looking at him right now. If everybody's going to be healthy, I think Derek Barnett is basically an upgrade on Ryan Kerrigan last year. I think it's pretty clear that Derek Barnett is going to be a sub with a very limited role. They didn't really want him back. They kind of took him back when no market developed for him. It was a good price for a guy who still has a lot of mileage left probably and isn't a terrible player. You know, he's just not what they thought when they drafted him. But he's a guy you can put out there and not be embarrassed by, I think, most of the time. Last year was his worst year, I thought. Maybe the change in coordinators had to do with that. I don't know. But I really think you're looking at Derek Barnett, who's only going to play maybe 20% of the snaps.
Hey, Les, I think you got more production than Ryan Kerrigan. Seriously. I think there's times you did as much as he did. And if it was he finished with three tackles last year,
That was tough to watch. That was a guy that if 5 years ago, whenever the Eagles would play Washington, that would be the guy you would watch. That'd be the guy you would notice on Washington's defense. I mean, he was their best player. Lane Johnson used to talk about him, you know, that'd be part of our coverage of the lead up to Washington versus Eagles games would be Lane Johnson talking about Ryan Kerrigan. Ryan Kerrigan destroyed Big V in 2016 when Lane was suspended. And to have him with the Eagles and really just sort of, I don't know, maybe going through the motions is not fair. Maybe he was doing the best he could. But, you know, I would have hung it up, quite frankly, if I were him. I know the money was enticing, but if you can't do it anymore, you're really kind of messing with your legacy there, I think. I guess he feels differently. One of the real frustrating things about last season is you didn't, because of COVID restrictions, you couldn't just walk up to Ryan Kerrigan's locker and say, hey, how are you feeling about all this? You know, so I don't know that anybody ever found out how he was feeling about it. But yeah, that was a guy that needed to retire instead of playing one more year.
Yeah, it was. Now, I'll ask you a question because you're one of the veterans on the beat. Have you ever seen a guy of that stature, that caliber, come to the Eagles and then be, for lack of a better word, that big of a disappointment when it comes to free agency?
You know, I'd have to think about it a little bit. I'm kind of grasping for names right now. The running back from Dallas, was it Felix Jones?
DeMarco Murray?
No, before him.
I'm trying to think.
Guy who was a really good multi-purpose back and had played for Dallas. And I know the Eagles had thought about drafting him in the draft that he went in. And he came to the Eagles and just gave them nothing. Now, DeMarco Murray certainly was a disappointment. But that was more scheme and fit and – you know, the whole team was going up in flames around him. I think they just basically mischaracterized what DeMarco Murray was. But who else would I say? Yeah, it was Felix Jones.
Felix Jones, sure. You're right. Yep, you called it. 2013 season. He was going to be the backup for McCoy.
Yeah, and he started out his career. You know, I remember the draft. He played at Arkansas. I remember the Eagles were very high on him. And, you know, I think he was a first-round pick of Dallas, actually. And when the Eagles got him, I was pretty excited. But, didn't have it anymore. That's one thing about that running back position that we've learned is you just can't it seems like the shelf life is so brief especially for the guys with kind of special talent. You know, guys can lug it for 3 yards a carry for forever, but the guys that have that little special something, they just don't seem to have it very long.
Yeah, it's craziness. It's crazy. But I'll tell you one guy who hasn't lost it one step at all. It seems like Dalvin Cook with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, that guy seems to be a monster. And the reason why I bring that up is because we found out on Monday morning, we're recording this on a Monday, that the Eagles are going to be one of the two Monday night games on September 19th. The Eagles are going to take on the Minnesota Vikings in Lincoln Financial Field and what's going to be the eventual home opener. Now, Les, when you look at this Vikings team, you know, you got Kirk Cousins coming in, who's on the last year of his deal. You got Dalvin Cook. You got Justin Jefferson, who Eagles fans know all too well. He's bypassed him. I mean, I know it's extremely early and looking on, but what are your thoughts on this upcoming matchup for the home opener?
Haven't given it one iota of thought yet, Chris, but it's I would say Minnesota is a team not unlike the Eagles. I don't think Minnesota will be a bad team this year. They'll be in contention for a playoff spot, but I don't think anybody expects the Vikings to win the Super Bowl. There are a lot of questions. That ought to be a good – we don't know yet what the real opener is going to be. They're doing this so strangely this year. I guess we'll find that out Thursday night. But, you know, this ought to be a good early season test. It's not a team that's so much better than the Eagles that, you know, they're going to be heavy underdogs. But it's not a team that's – picked to be at the bottom of the league either. So, you know, it ought to be a pretty reasonable NFC, you know, team that's going to be in the mix with them sort of test of the Eagles. I know a lot of fans are excited about the Monday night thing for the home opener. This is the third year in a row that the Eagles will play their actual opener on the road. And I'm not, you know, too excited about that, depending on where we end up. But, again, it's the Phillies. You know, the Phillies are in town that weekend. It's great to have the sports complex down there with all the arenas right together. But there are times when it's kind of a pain in the butt, and this is one of those times. I would not have minded having an opener at home for once. But you know, Monday night, you're going to have a long week to prepare, I assume, and. You know, it'll be a marquee event.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope that for the Eagles' sake, they don't get like a team like the Cowboys the following week because you'll have a short week to come right after that.
That's exactly now, right. Yes,
that's going to be rough too. It's like, hey guys, okay. Especially if you get like, say, I don't know, an AFC team that first week. I mean, just imagine the first opening game of the opening game. You have to go on the road to face the Giants. Then, okay, you get the extra time to come back, prepare for the Vikings. And then, oh yeah, the third game you had to go down. I don't know, you either go down to Dallas to take them on, or you have them coming back up. That's going to be a quick short turnaround. I don't know why they made it this early, but. I don't get it when it comes to that. I mean, especially also with the 8:30, the home opener games, you think like I know it provides great drama and you'll have the fireworks going off and everything. You have the Eagles fans going, but I don't know, something to me about a home opener being around 1 or 4 o'clock and you get that traditional, hey, you know what? Football's back. So I feel, I don't know. Maybe it's just me being me. I don't know. Who knows?
Very good point. You know, I don't remember a Monday night home opener. I'm sure there's been one, you know, probably in the time that I've covered the team, but offhand, I couldn't tell you when that's ever happened.
It's craziness. It's crazy. But here we go. Finally, when it comes to the Eagles and their personnel department and their front office, it's been a kind of a topsy-turvy time right now. The Eagles have lost Catherine Raich. She's going to the Cleveland Browns to join them, their front office, in what's believed to be a role to be similar to assistant general manager. The Eagles fired Casey Weidel, the brother of vice president of player personnel, Andy Weidel. He's on his Casey's on his way out. But then the Eagles recently added Charles Walls from the Cleveland Browns. So effectively it wound up being a trade. He's going to be wind up being the director of player personnel for the Eagles. Les, what do you make of all these moves going on in front office? And how do you foresee this potentially impacting the team long term, especially when it comes to the personnel side?
I think it's really concerning, Chris. These are really smart people that have left, and a whole bunch of them at once. And I've not seen anything quite like it. Even when they've had regime change in the past, there hasn't been this big an exodus from personnel. It's to the Eagles' credit. I think they did see this coming. You know, they talked last year about teams wanting to interview their personnel and that they thought they had some future GMs. I think they said five or something like that, future GMs in the building. So it's not like they were really blindsided by this. But nonetheless, it's a lot of talent, as I said, and it's hard to replace really good people. You can't just keep promoting from within. You know, sooner or later, you just, you know, that well runs dry. I'm glad that they're bringing in Wall. Seems like a pretty sharp voice from outside the organization. I don't know what they're going to do with some of these other jobs. I think there's going to be a little bit of a restructure. I think one problem they have right now, Chris, is that when they hired Andy Weidel to succeed Joe Douglas, I guess it gave him the same sort of title and organizational chart that they had had with Joe. And Joe only reported to Howie Roseman, and that's the case with Andy. So all of these people that left, some of them have titles that are pretty equivalent to what their titles were with the Eagles. They're not general managers, but they have dominion over personnel. They don't report to anyone other than the general manager. Whereas here, Andy Weidel has dominion over personnel, and anybody else working in personnel reports to Andy Weidel before they report to Howie Roseman, you know. So there's an extra layer there. And that under that construct, these people are allowed to leave to take what in some ways are lateral move jobs. but you have to also, you want to talk about the fact that, and this is a little uncomfortable, that Howie Roseman, people don't tend to work with Howie for more than a few years. You know, he attracts good people. In many ways, he does a good job. I mean, it's hard to find a trade that Howie ever loses on paper anyway. You know, there are things that he does very, very well. He's smart. He's been around a long time. And he, like I said, he hires good people. But for whatever reason, those relationships don't tend to last. And maybe it's because Howie himself is pretty young still to be a GM. And if you're working for him, you know you're not going to get his job anytime soon. But I think he's also kind of a difficult guy, you know, and I think people get tired of his energy, to put it kindly, his drive, his perfectionism. You know, I think he's like a tough coach. You know, he has a shelf life with people. And there's a point where people just don't want to be around that anymore, you know. And I don't know what I don't know if that's going to be a huge problem for the Eagles going forward, but it's something to watch. It really is.
Yeah, because not only we mentioned Catherine Raich leaving. I mean, Andrew Berry left a couple years ago to go to the Browns. Ian Cunningham is now the assistant general manager of the Bears. Brandon Brown's the assistant general manager of the Giants. I mean, that's a lot of like experience that you lost, and institutional knowledge that you lost. Not only of, and they now know how the Eagles operate. I know you can tweak things here or there, but if they had conversations over time, they started, you get to see these ways these guys think, and they know what the team's looking for when it comes to the offense. It starts to add up over time, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see some internal stuff. But I mean, we've heard Jim Nagy, the guy who runs the Reese's Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. We heard the Eagles interviewed him. I wouldn't be surprised if they spoke to a guy like Thomas Dimitroff as well, too, another former general manager who has experience looking over rosters, looking at running the talent, running personnel talent, stuff like that. He came from the college side. He's another guy I wouldn't mind the Eagles taking a look at if you just want to restock that front office and try to get things. It's just over time, the Eagles have been lucky when it comes to restocking their front office and finding these people. But there comes a time when it gets tougher and it won't necessarily work out. And you got to worry about what's going to cost them wins in the long term. And especially is pivotal, especially next year when you have two first round picks, you kind of need to make sure you got a hit on them. So for whatever help you need in that front office, they better find it soon and get them in early so they can start that scouting process for 2023.
I was a little surprised, Chris, that they're getting rid of Tom Donahoe as an advisor. Tom is, former general manager of the Steelers and Bills. He's been around a long time. Most fans here only know him from that video from the 2021 draft where Tom wanted one player and they drafted Milton Williams instead. And Howie ran around the room fist bumping everybody. And Tom was like very reluctant to celebrate with him. But, Tom isn't really in charge of anything or wasn't. To me, it was perfect to have a voice like that, especially if you're going to be having a lot of change in the people setting up the scouting and doing the scouting, to have some continuity with the people who are kind of watching that operation and advising you on that operation made a lot of sense to me, but I guess it doesn't make a lot of sense to them. I don't know if Tom wanted to retire. It certainly wasn't presented that way when Jeff McClain from the Inquirer wrote a story about it. Nobody has talked to Tom. I'd be real curious as to what the genesis of that was and why it was necessary. I mean, there's no salary cap for executives. You can have as many advisors as you want. And I thought Tom's advice was usually pretty good advice. He was there a good while after leaving the Bills. And certainly was a mentor to Andy Weidel going back to Pittsburgh. And, I think this increases, along with the firing of Andy's brother, Casey, I think Tom's departure increases the possibility that Andy's going to be moving on too, possibly as the general manager of the Steelers or maybe for something else. I don't know.
Yeah, Andy comes from a very good background. He was part of that Ozzie Newsome collective down there, the Baltimore Ravens, and he knows the scouting and all that. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the Eagles front office from here on out. And I guess we're going to our final thoughts. Les, do you have any final thoughts you have about this Eagles team or heading to the offseason?
Yeah, I'll give you one. I still think they need a big move at corner. Maybe they don't need one at safety. They have Marcus Epps and Anthony Harris, and they can probably get by with that. Maybe pick up a sub somewhere along the lines and get somebody gets cut. But at corner, I just don't think they have a second starting corner who's ready to play right now. And the Giants are about ready to cut one. James Bradbury, not the guy that wrote Fahrenheit 451, but the football player.
Good reference.
Pretty good player, not a great player. Kind of like Steven Nelson last year. I think Pro Football Focus gave him a slightly higher grade than they gave Nelson for this past season. And I thought Nelson was okay. I didn't think he was wonderful, but I thought he filled what they needed pretty well. I think if Bradbury is ready to take that kind of contract and, have a big free agency next year, that would be a good fit with the Eagles. I don't see signing him to any kind of long-term deal or, you know, giving him real money. I think there's an indication from something I saw that maybe he thinks he's going to get released and really hit the market and teams are going to be bidding and all. You know, I don't think that happens very much in May. I think you have to be really special to, because teams have spent their money, you know, in May. I think you have to be like a really great player for that to take place. Those things happen in March. But, you know, that's a name I would keep an eye on. There's some other guys out there, Trey Waynes, a couple others. But they got to, I think they have to sign a corner before training camp. That's my final thought.
I like that. A very good one. Mine's, I'm going to go on the opposite side of the ball, and I'm going to look at the running back position because it's another week that's gone by, and we still don't know what's going on right now with Miles Sanders and his long-term future with this team. You know, the Eagles bypassed selecting a running back in the draft this year, and you just look at that position. I know running backs don't have the value that they used to have back, say, 5, 10, 15 years ago. But when you look at it, you got a guy who's a potential top 15 running back, probably top 12 running back, who is, when he's healthy, can produce and be electric at times, for lack of a better words, because you see what he can do. He can break 70-yard runs, and he can also run on the inside, and he can catch the ball out the backfield. And you see a guy like that, and there's no extension on the table. It's really mum right now on that front, and you don't know what the future is. And if when you look at the long term of that position, right now the only guy you know that you're going to have beyond next year is Kenneth Gainwell, who's a very nice player. It's still a lot of improvement about him. We don't know what's going on. So
still kind of a gadget player, not really a guy that's going to be out there in every situation.
Right. Yeah. It's one thing like, okay, you're going to run a jet sweep. You're going to run a screen. That's pretty much the defense has got accustomed to seeing. When he saw on the field, it's like, oh, here comes a passing play, except for somehow at the goal line, he became a great goal line running back. But
yeah,
there's too many questions when it comes to that position. And I think for the Eagles' sake,
that's a really good point, Chris. Yeah, I just wonder if they know exactly what Miles Sanders is and how long he's going to be good. You know, we talked about the short shelf life of running backs. Miles has had a lot of injuries. Bruce Staley used to insist that Miles could become like an every down running back, a workhorse running back. That hasn't happened. And, you know, it hasn't happened because of injuries, basically. I don't know that they're that comfortable investing money in Miles Sanders, you know, and we'll see, you know, how that goes, how that sits with Miles, and, you know, what they end up doing out of this.
It's crazy. It's gonna be fun to watch heading into training camp. But hey, while we're going into training camp, make sure you subscribe to Eagles Extra, our text service, where we go ahead and we break news and we'll have conversations like this. We have Q&As. Probably going to do one this upcoming Friday as well, too. So if you're an Eagles Extra subscriber, make sure you send your questions in. We'll remind you on there. Also, when it comes to this podcast, make sure you leave us a review here. 5 stars if possible, if you like what's going to do. Tell Les some, leave Les your restaurant suggestions down here in South Jersey. It's something to go for as well, too. And we always love to hear from you guys. So that's it. Thank you guys very much for listening. For Les, I'm Chris. Enjoy the rest of your day.